President Obama says he is not wildly optimistic that an agreement can be reached to keep the government operating after midnight tonight. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, April the 8th. We will talk about the odds of a possible government shutdown and what the obstacles are here, what this would mean for us and what could be done to avoid it. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We will talk after 7:30 with two of Wisconsin's congressmen. Republican Sean Duffy from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District will join us after 7:30. And then at about 10 minutes to 8, we will be talking with Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, Ron Kind. For this half hour, we are talking with Eric Giordano, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County, and the Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, Professor Giordano, what's the holdup here? What's the problem?
Well, initially, apparently the problem was a gap of about $70 or so billion between a Republican proposal to get the budget resolved, or a cut of a billion, I should say, versus the Democrat proposal, the Obama proposal, about $33 billion. But, you know, based on sort of the hints that we've had over the last few days, they may have narrowed that gap considerably, and now apparently they're tussling over some policy rider provisions over things like changing policies and regulations on environmental rules, some Planned Parenthood funding, and some other issues that really don't seem to be as closely connected to the actual deficit reduction issue.
Are these the areas we also hear are where people who are in the Tea Party movement feel very strongly about and are putting pressure on House Leader John Boehner to keep these items in this deal?
Yeah, I think Boehner's facing a lot of pressure, and you know he has to answer both to the to the Tea Party faction within the caucus, but also he has to consider. When we come out of this, will the Republicans be in a better position in terms of their possible vote in election for the next cycle?
And what we President Obama reported after a meeting late yesterday, last night, it lasted 90 minutes. And as you mentioned, he said that some progress was made, but the outstanding items are substantial and that he's not wildly optimistic that an agreement can be reached. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we just settle for mildly optimistic.
Yeah.
But I think this is, doesn't bode well. But, we still have about, until midnight tonight to get a deal done. And I think that the odds are still slightly favorable that they will get something done. I mean, because if they don't, they really are facing this unknown, which is the shutdown of the government. And the unknown part, of course, is the political ramifications and who might get blamed by the American people if the government does indeed shut down.
Well, let's talk about some of the practical items. Should there be a shutdown, how does that affect us?
Well, clearly, there isn't going to be any money to spend except for sort of pots of emergency money, which is available. But, for example, we're going to see, and this has just been what's reported in the press, perhaps 800,000 workers furloughed. Now, they will, if history is a guide, recoup that money when and if the government budget bill goes through. But at least temporarily, they would be furloughed. And we're talking about non-essential, so-called non-essential personnel. And people like to cite the National Park Service. But it also includes civilian defense employees and contractors. I've read that at least a third of the State Department personnel. We're going to have a shutdown of certain tax services. the worst of all, tongue in cheek, is the cherry blossom parade might be canceled.
Can't have that. But
right. So, you know, a number of things: passport applications, new filers for Social Security, and that's not to even mention the potential impact on the economy. These are just sort of immediate. Lack of government service.
Right, and the president did allude to that as well, saying that we can't have this when our economy is still recovering and is still so fragile. Why would this hurt the recovery?
Well, I think it's mostly about confidence. And, you know, we're already in a very difficult economic situation with a very, very slow recovery. And some economists are fearful that by shutting down the government, it's going to cause a crisis of confidence. I mean, not just on Wall Street, but also in terms of, people being able to make financial decisions. There's been some estimates, for example, that for each week of a government shutdown, we're likely to lose 0.2% of GDP, and that sounds small on the surface, but that's a large amount of money. And, not to mention, the lack of spending that's going to go on with furlough workers and tourism that's going to suffer. This confidence issue is really what people are most afraid of, mm-hmm. that it could even trigger, a deepening of the recession or a new recession, if you will.
Well, I heard House Speaker John Boehner saying we need to avoid a government shutdown. Harry Reid presumably doesn't want a government shutdown. So, I mean, why can't an agreement be reached on this?
Well, I think, quite frankly, it's about politics. This is a sort of a high stakes game of political chicken here. Who is going to blink? Who's going to swerve? The Republicans, I think, to some extent, rightly feel, that in the last midterm election, they were elected on the issue of bringing down debt, of cutting spending, reducing taxes, or extending tax breaks. And, as you mentioned earlier, the Tea Party has been a major driving force behind some of this, maybe pushing the Republicans even further in that direction. So I don't think they want to come away from this saying to the people who voted them into office, their base, we didn't get the job done, or we compromised beyond what the principles that we told you we would take on. The Democrats, meanwhile, they still control the presidency, they still control the Senate, and although the referendum shifted us somewhat right, I don't think they're willing, to sell off or give away. Everything to the Republicans. And so I think both are taking a risk here that by holding firm to some extent that they will be less hurt by a government shutdown than their opponents.
Yeah.
It's very risky, though, very risky.
Democrats aren't saying, we're spendthrifts and we just want to keep on spending and wasting money, are they? I mean, they have a reason for why they're resisting.
Well, yes. I mean, every $1 billion of cuts is significant to major programs. I mean, everything from heating oil assistance and subsidies and programs, that really help, one might argue, the poorest of our society. And I think on principle, they don't believe that drastic cuts are the answer, that this is really going to have a serious impact on many people. So, no, I don't think that it's a matter of they're wanting to waste money. They just have a belief that these cuts are too extreme.
And one of the things that could be holding this up is a proposal to eliminate all federal funding to Planned Parenthood. And and this is something that the Democrats, at least I've seen, are saying Planned Parenthood provides essential health services for women. Federal money is not used for any abortion services, and so this social issue is standing in the way.
Right. I think that's probably some of the frustration you're hearing, at least from the side of the White House and Harry Reid, that you know, Planned Parenthood is one of those no-go areas for the Democrats. I mean, it's taken years to get legislation, funding, you know, court cases in place to protect certain health provisions and rights for women and others. And this is one of those more policy-oriented areas that I think has been a target among the Republicans for many years. And so they're sort of saying, you know, this is our opportunity here to you know, in the name of reducing deficit and budget, to cut certain programs. And of course, this is why I don't think the president's wildly optimistic, because they're not. I don't think they're willing to compromise.
We are talking with Eric Giordano, an assistant professor of political science at UW-Marathon County and the director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service, about the potential for a federal government shutdown. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be a partly to mostly cloudy day today, mild with highs statewide in the 50s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up, we will talk more about what the stumbling block is in reaching an agreement to avert a government shutdown when we welcome in Sean Duffy, a U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, and Ron Kind, a Democratic U.S. representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, coming up after the 7:30 news. Right now, we are talking with Eric Giordano, an assistant professor of political science at UW-Marathon County, and James in Milwaukee is with us first. Hello, James.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I had heard reported on the news within the last few days. I only heard it once, and I haven't heard it again. They said the last time the federal government shut down, it cost taxpayers between $1 million and $1.5 million. And I'd like to comment from your guest as how that could be true, if that is possible, if I did hear that right. I'll hang up and I'll listen to your answer. Thank you.
This could cost us money to shut down.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that specific figure, but there's a number of things that cost taxpayers in the 1995-96 shutdown. Some of it has to do with simply shaken investor confidence and an unwillingness of people to spend money because of the uncertainty. So one of the direct impacts was an increase in interest rates and the cost of borrowing money from that shutdown, and that's one of the fears of this shutdown as well. In fact, people are pretty much saying the time of extremely low interest rates has increased. So that alone costs taxpayers money, because a higher interest rate is going to mean more money that we have to pay out on debts. You had a number of workers furloughed. You had work that essentially was just not done when it was supposed to be done, and that, of course, costs money, just like any project that has delays. You know, for example, back then you had toxic waste cleanup that was suspended. You had the Center for Disease Control that temporarily stopped their activities. You had a number of government contracts. I think I read somewhere it was estimated about 20% of government contracts weren't fulfilled, or at least carried out and completed on time. So all of these things led to significant costs. I hadn't heard that specific figure, though.
Thanks very much for the call. Our next caller is Scott in Green Bay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. Yeah, this issue really makes me livid. Let's start with some facts here. If the Democrats last year went to punt it on the budget, they didn't even submit a budget, we're not where we are today. They get no blame for it at all. Unbelievable. Secondly, the narrative in the media is just ridiculous. We're talking about maybe 0.2% of cuts. We've got over a $1 trillion deficit, and we're quibbling about $50 billion. It's asinine is what it is. You've got a president who, until this week, was totally disengaged on this argument. And all you see is Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer out saying the Republicans are going to starve grandma and grandpa, people are going to die, they're a bunch of extremists. The blame needs to be laid at the feet of the Democrats. This is their fault. They punted on the budget last year. We've got a disengaged president, and it's obvious they're not serious about controlling spending and taking care of this massive trillions of dollars of deficit that we're running up, because this $60 billion figure is a joke. It really is. We're going nowhere except deeper into a hole.
Mm-hmm. Professor Giordano, what about that sentiment?
Well, I think there's a lot of agreement that President Obama really hasn't taken, you know, as much of a leadership role in this as he needs to. I mean, I'm hearing this on both sides of the aisle, some disappointment here. And I think there is some truth in what the caller is saying about, you know, that the Democrats really haven't taken the hard look necessary, you know, to start reducing some of the structural deficit. And I think everybody knows that it has to be done. And whether or not, you know, we're going to agree at the, you know, about all issues, there's definitely some need to do this. And that's why many people are applauding, you know, Paul Ryan's efforts, you know, at coming up with a plan. Now, I think this is more of a long-term plan, and it has some issues that I think Democrats will not support. But I think people are rightly saying, you know, we'd like to see more leadership on the Democrat side on this issue.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's yet to be seen, but as you assess it, Professor Giordano, who is going to take the political blame should the government shut down?
Well, I think that's the $64,000 question. It's tough to say. You know, back in 95 and 96, when this similar occurrence happened, Newt Gingrich was the one leading the charge on the Republican House side, and he really thought that he was going to, you know, come out of this, and the Republicans would come out of this a little bit better off than Bill Clinton. And early on, it looked like that was the case. Clinton's numbers really plunged, but then all of a sudden, there was sort of a bump in Clinton's numbers, and he actually, his rating, approval rating, went up higher than it was since his election. So ultimately, the Republicans got the blame. Now, in this case, the thing that the Republicans have going for them, as I mentioned earlier, is that, you know, they were elected, and I think on the premise by the majority of the American public, at least in terms of, you know, the turnover in the House and Senate, that, you know, on the issue of being more fiscally responsible. And it's possible that in this case the Democrats might get the blame, but I really don't think we know for sure. Clearly, both sides are going to come out looking worse than they did going in, but, you know, will one side be relatively slightly better off than the other? That's the risk, and it's hard to predict.
Our next caller is Sean in Madison. Hello, Sean.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
I've heard a lot of spin on both sides, and that's sort of the job of politics. But I think the Planned Parenthood issue you were talking about earlier is a nice place to add some clarity, because I know they're talking about cuts, and I hear draconian from one side, and then I hear, you know, that the increase in spending. I'm wondering if you can talk to the increase in annual spending by Planned Parenthood or what they're allotted versus what the cuts look like. Is there a big disparity there, or is anyone even talking about that? I haven't heard it.
Well, I have here the measure would eliminate about $330 million through the end of September for preventive health services, including federal funding for contraception and cancer screenings at Planned Parenthood clinics across the country.
And what was the increase last year?
I'm not sure if this is a total elimination of federal funding or if we're just talking a cut. I thought it was total elimination. Professor Giordano, do you know?
No, I really don't. I apologize, but that's a great question.
I don't think we're going to get the clarity until we can, you know, use a resource like NPR like this to find those.
Yeah, we'll look up what we have. My understanding awesome. In the media that this was an elimination of federal funding for Planned Parenthood. So it doesn't mean it's just a cut, it's an elimination.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. I think we have time for Frank in Madison. Hello, Frank.
Good morning.
Yes, please go ahead.
I had a question. Well, I guess the way that I see this is that the congressmen haven't really done their job, which was to balance this budget. And, you know, when I'm at work and I don't do my job, I get reprimanded or I get some sort of consequence. So my question was, is there some sort of direct consequence for these congressmen, you know, maybe in the form of a fine or something to let them know that they haven't done their job and we're not happy. They can't be using this government shutdown as, you know, a bargaining chip.
Mm-hmm. Professor Giordano.
Well, I don't know who's going to determine who decides to fine the congressional representatives. I understand the sentiment. One interesting fact is that if the government does shut down, apparently the congressional pay keeps flowing in, although I've seen that some congressional leaders have said, well, we'll withhold our pay during this period if the government does indeed shut down. But I think the ultimate penalty would be at the polls.
So what are you expecting or what are you watching for, Professor Giordano, as apparently still this morning the congressional leaders are trying to reach some agreement?
Right. I just think we have to, first of all, check and see if they're actually meeting. You know, if they're not, if we don't see John Boehner at the White House with Harry Reid, then we know that things are not moving forward. So we need to see some sign that both sides are you know, getting together. I think that there's still time. I think they're close. I think they're taking a stand on principle. It'll be interesting to see. I think we're really down to the wire here. If for some reason they decide that they do not want to do this, then the next thing to look for would be, you know, to what extent are the American people clamoring for some kind of deal, and which side is getting the bigger blame, and that will help determine, in the case of a shutdown, who has to compromise.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Eric Giordano, Assistant Professor of Political Science at UW-Marathon County, Director of the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. We will ask for your input in our next half hour when we have with us Republican Congressman Sean Duffy and Democratic Congressman Ron Kind. Do you want a deal reached? Who should be giving? After the news. President Obama and congressional leaders have only hours to avert a midnight Friday government shutdown that they say would inconvenience millions of people and damage a still fragile economy. President Obama and congressional leaders say another late night of talks last night had narrowed the differences over how to cut federal spending, but there was no agreement.
There are still a few issues that are outstanding. They're difficult issues. They're important to both sides. And so I'm not yet prepared to express wild optimism.
Those few issues reportedly include federal funding of Planned Parenthood and environmental issues involving the Clean Air Act. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, April the 8th. We will talk about the potential of a government shutdown, a federal government shutdown, and why this is happening and whether or not you want either side to deal with two of Wisconsin's congressmen. Joining us first, Sean Duffy, Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, which includes Wausau, Superior, and Northwest Wisconsin. Good morning, Congressman Duffy.
Good morning, Joy. How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, we're working to try to avoid a government shutdown. I don't think a great majority of the folks who are representatives in Washington or a lot of Wisconsinites want to see a shutdown, but it doesn't seem like we're able to come to an agreement.
Yeah. What? And is that right? That things like federal funding of Planned Parenthood—that's the holdup.
Well, I got to tell you, it's tough for me to say. And here's my concern. We in the House, we put forth a bill to fund the government through the end of fiscal year 11. We did that about 5-6 weeks ago. And the reason we're doing this, Joy, just to be clear, is that last year, the Senate and the House, they didn't pass a budget. They didn't even propose a budget. So really this year, we're doing the work of last year's Congress. We proposed a bill, H.R. 1, that was going to cut $61 billion. And that's also one of the backdrops that we're going to borrow $1.6 trillion this year. We have a national debt of $14 trillion. So our proposal was to cut $61 billion. The Senate didn't like that. They never gave us a counterproposal. So as we're trying to work through what the Senate wants to do, we've passed two short-term extensions, one for 2 weeks and one for 3 weeks. But the bottom line now is we don't know what the Senate wants. We don't know what the president wants. The only house that has put out a proposal that has passed legislation is the House of Representatives. And so we hear a lot of conjecture about what the Senate wants and what the president wants. But the bottom line is we don't know, because they haven't passed anything. So we hear a lot of sniping about our proposal. And for me, I say, let's negotiate. We've made our proposal. The Senate should go to their chamber, pass legislation as a counterproposal to us. But they haven't. And so how do you sit and negotiate yourself if the other side isn't willing to put out a proposal?
Mm. Here's what the House Democratic Whip Steny Hoyer had to say on NBC's Today show today. He says there's no deal yet, unfortunately, that leaders have come to 70% agreement, 70% of the way on the numbers, but says that issues, social issues, policies such as abortion and the environment are the stumbling blocks. He says you can't negotiate on the basis that one side gives 100% and the other side gives zero. What's your reaction to that?
Now, Joy, listen, did Steny Hoyer propose cutting $70 billion out of the budget?
Well,
he has not. None of your listeners believe that. They came at this and said, we don't want to cut anything. We want to continue on the same fiscal course, which is going to bring us to ruin. So we're saying, listen, we have to scale back the size and scope of government. It's not a popular place to be when you talk about cutting, but when we're living beyond our means, we have to make tough choices. And I think Wisconsinites and Americans are asking their government, listen, let's avert a crisis. Let's start to deal with this today. And that's what we're trying to do. So, no, they didn't propose cutting $70 billion. We've heard rumor that they're willing to go somewhere in the $30 billion. But again, there's no proposal. I have not seen Steny Hoyer's proposal. I haven't seen Harry Reid's proposal. I haven't seen the president's proposal. You and everyone in Wisconsin, you have seen the House Republican proposal. We have put it out there. And I think it's important to say, if you don't like it, give us your proposal. And that hasn't happened. Right now, Joy, yesterday, to avert a shutdown today, we passed another bill, a short-term extension for 1 week. We're concerned that our military men and women are not going to be paid. And if the government shuts down, they won't be paid. And so we passed a bill that funds the Department of Defense through the rest of the fiscal year, and we cut another $12 billion. Mm. And they won't even take it up in the Senate. So, again, if you have another idea of how we can fund the government, give it to us. Pass it through your House and send it to the House. That's the way the process works. But, again, we just have sniping going back and forth, and I think you don't get a good deal for the American people when the other side won't engage in a conversation.
How about this sniping? There are those who say that the Tea Party is driving this debate, that the Tea Party is putting pressure on Republicans to hold firm on eliminating the funding of Planned Parenthood.
Oh, no doubt. I think there's pressure being put on both sides of the aisle. I think you make a good point. But again, I think there's a vast majority of people on the Republican and Democrat side of the aisle that want to come to an agreement. And again, Joy, you might get pressure from the Tea Party, as you say. But how can you negotiate? I have nothing to negotiate. I don't know what the proposal is. So the pressure doesn't even work on me. Mm-hmm. I have no one to negotiate with. You can't tell me what their proposal is.
Yeah.
No one can, because they haven't made one. And how do we avert a government shutdown if you can't make a counterproposal to us? If you don't like the riders, are they saying they're okay with $61 billion in cuts? Is that where they're at? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Are they saying we'll go with the riders, but $40 billion in cuts? I don't know. That's the problem that we face right now. We're negotiating with ourselves and just having people snipe at us.
What about the thought, Congressman Duffy, that the report is that we just heard from our political analyst in our last half hour that the Democrats are saying, you know, here's $33 billion worth of cuts, but what you want, Republicans, is draconian and is going to cause extreme suffering and hardship.
Here's what's draconian. When you
are going to borrow $1.6 trillion. $1.6 trillion this year alone. We can't find it in our budget to cut $61 billion. I mean, the backdrop here is we owe $14 trillion right now. That's $45,000 for every man, woman, and child. My little Maria Victoria, she's 1 year old. She owes $45,000. If you go to an American taxpayer, those who pay taxes, it's $128,000 is their portion of the national debt. Over the next 10 years, on average, every year, we're projected to borrow $1 trillion. We're borrowing it from places like China. This is a scary situation. If we don't get our fiscal house in order, there's people, Joy, that you and I both agree need help. We're not going to have the money to do it. I don't want to see people suffer, and we're going to see people suffer if we don't fix the problems that we face within our budget. And you got to have the moral courage to do it. I got to tell you, when you go talk to people about cuts, it's a hard thing to do. But for me, I'm going to be honest with the American people. I'm not going to come back and tell them what they want to hear and say, listen, we can continue to borrow and spend, and there's no consequence for it. There is a consequence. If you're going to invest, why would you invest in America when we owe $14 trillion and we don't have the ability to get our debt under control? This means higher taxes, higher inflation, a devaluation of the dollar. I want businesses from around the world to go, you know what, you have the best workers in America. We want to invest in America because this is the place of prosperity. This is the place of innovation. But you know what, they're going to other places in the world, and the debt is a huge part of it. We have to get this under control if we want to see jobs grow. But also, if we want to make sure we have dollars to help the people in our community that both of us agree we need to help.
Yeah. One call for you before we let you go. Craig in Onalaska. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. My comment is I'm an independent voter. If you'd go back and check, every time I call in, I basically say I'm an independent voter. What gets me on this whole thing is the fact that the Republicans will not consider a tax increase for those people that can afford to pay it. Mm-hmm. When I owed money and I needed to get it paid off, I took a second job. And these people that say, oh, they're going to create all these jobs, that's a bunch of baloney. And I think that taxes need to go up on those that can afford to pay.
Will tax increases be considered, Congressman Duffy?
Joy, how much time do we have? Do we have a couple minutes?
Yeah, as much time as you need to answer that.
Okay, thank you. Here's the deal. We don't have a taxing problem. We have a spending problem. We're spending too much in Washington. Let me give you an example. I look at the big box retailers as my taxing example. We have Walmart, and we have Target, and we have Kmart, right? And they all compete against each other. Right now, Target's suffering. Kmart's suffering. They're closing stores down. They're laying people off because they're not competitive in this marketplace. Just like in America, we are competing against China and India and Mexico, Vietnam, Canada. We are in a global marketplace right now, and we compete there. If you were to go to the board in Kmart and say, listen, you know what? We don't have enough money coming into Kmart. We're laying people off. We need to bring in more revenue. Here's what we need to do. To bring in more revenue, we just need to raise our prices. If we raise our prices, we bring in more revenue. And we all know as consumers that when you raise your prices at Kmart, you're going to drive more shoppers to Walmart and Target. If you raise the price of doing business in America, sadly today, you're going to send more businesses to places like China and India and Mexico and Vietnam and Canada. And you know what? In the end result, our workers suffer. I want to make sure we have a competitive environment where businesses can compete, they can succeed, and we can put our hardworking Wisconsinites back to work. Mm-hmm. But if you raise taxes on those who create jobs, they go somewhere else, and they're not competitive in this global environment. I don't want to see that happen. I want to see us put our people back to work, and raising taxes I don't think is going to do it for us.
Very briefly, before we let you go, the president says he is not wildly optimistic that a deal is going to be reached. Are you?
I hope a deal gets reached. I think the American people expect that from their Congress. And that's why I'm going to stay here and keep working on this to make sure the government doesn't shut down. But again, I'm frustrated that no one, the other side of the aisle isn't putting out a proposal. I know you're going to hear from Representative Kind after this. I go, what is their proposal? You got to pass a proposal so we can consider it.
All right.
And I wish that would happen. I don't want to see the government shut down. I don't think it's good for the economy. I don't think it's good for the American people. But again, we can't negotiate with ourselves. And we have a moving target. We have 100 senators. You hear one proposal from one from another. There is no concise plan that's come out from the other side of the aisle, and that's the problem. We're negotiating with how many different people. But again, in the House, you can criticize our proposal because we made one. Yeah. We made a proposal. I hope the Democrats will do the same.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Sean Duffy, Republican U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. We will be welcoming in Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, Ron Kind, in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. A meeting last night between congressional leaders and President Obama failed to resolve an impasse over federal spending that, barring an agreement today, could result in a government shutdown at midnight tonight. What is going on here and what do you want to see happen? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let me welcome in Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, which includes La Crosse, Eau Claire, and southwestern and parts of western Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So I see here that that the two sides have come to agreement on like 70% of the issues, but social policies like abortion and the environment are still stumbling blocks. What does that mean?
Joy, let me dispel a notion that's out there, that this argument that we're having in Washington is about the deficit and the debt. It's not. If it were, there would have been more consideration given into the extension of the Bush tax cuts late last year, which, by the way, requires us to borrow another $1 trillion from China, all going to deficit spending over the next 2 years, the majority of those tax breaks going to the wealthiest 2%, wealthy oil executives and Wall Street bankers, and virtually every one of my Republican colleagues, I think all of my Republican colleagues, voted for that $1 trillion of new debt. Now, this is a very narrow ideological, extreme ideological agenda that's being pursued that wants to defund NPR, sorry, defund Planned Parenthood, defund education, and shut down the EPA. It has nothing to do with the deficit. If this was a serious discussion about debt and deficit, we'd be having a serious discussion about how we can bring down health care costs, which is the largest and fastest growing area of spending at all levels today. And that's why I think moving forward on health care reform so we get a better bang for the dollar that we're spending in the health care system, which is Medicare, Medicaid, veterans, and everything else, is where we need to be focused if we're going to be serious about deficit reduction in Washington.
Yeah, so what part is the Tea Party playing in this debate?
Well, it's the other concern I have, that we may be looking at a government shutdown. I think too many of my colleagues have brought with them to Washington this mindset that it's either their way or no way at all. And yet the essence of any democracy, the miracle of our democracy, has been the ability for us to get together and compromise, give and take, listen to each other, work hard to find common ground. But if you bring to D.C. this attitude that it's either my way or no way at all, that's what leads to a government shutdown. And that's what I see coming from the other side more than ever, especially with this new class that just got elected and Tea Party rallies all week long here in Washington screaming, shut it down, shut it down. And they're listening to them.
Yeah. Well, you just heard Congressman Duffy say, "Well, you know, what are the Democrats proposing? Are you know, what spending cuts are you proposing? You know, the Republicans have said this is what we want. What do you want instead?"
Well, late last year, when we had the budget that passed at the end of the year, there was already over $40 billion worth of cuts that Democrats made without one Republican vote to support it. And in fact, additional cuts have been made so far with Democratic help. And so we're willing to go to the discretionary part of the budget and say, yeah, there are some areas for trimming here, too. But let's not delude ourselves into thinking that all we're going to do is focus on 12% of the discretionary pie for cuts, and we're somehow going to make a difference with these structural deficits that we have. Instead, it's those programs that they go after, which I think is the seed corn that we need to be investing, planting now for a long-term harvest to grow our economy and create jobs. I'm talking about education funding, workforce development issues, scientific research, the expansion of broadband connection to every inch of our territory, the infrastructure investment we need. These are the type of investments we need to be making as a nation together to grow our economy. Yet that's the only area that they're looking to in this discussion for drastic cuts. And we have a very fragile economic recovery occurring right now, which could be put in jeopardy, most economists acknowledge, if you go too deep, too fast in a lot of these programs. And if the government does shut down, I'm fearful that, you know, the SBA loans that small businesses are trying to acquire will shut down. The Farm Service Administration operating loans that our family farmers need to get the spring plant will shut down. And there will be a ripple effect through the economy if the government does shut down. So I hope no one's under the delusion that, yeah, we can just make an ideological point, shut down the government, and there won't be an economic impact as a consequence.
Yeah. We also heard Congressman Duffy say, why didn't Democrats do this last October?
Well, we tried. You needed 60 votes in the Senate, and we couldn't get one Republican to support any budget measure that was brought up because of the filibuster rule in the Senate, nor any Republican in the House that was willing to vote for anything. And again, it was their way or no way at all attitude. And so it's easy for them to point the blame at Democrats. You were in charge, but we really weren't in charge. Not when you had the 60-vote rule in the Senate, and we didn't have 60 votes because it would require bipartisan cooperation to do anything. So, I mean, that's a red herring as well. What we should be doing is talking about a long-term plan for significant structural deficit reduction, which will entitle the big, which would include the big spending programs, health care being number one, and also defense. Anyone who's out there with a budget proposal, and it was just released this week, talking about increasing defense spending over the next 10 years rather than finding savings in defense, is also deluding the American people, that somehow you can balance the budget without going after a lot of the waste and inefficiency in these old weapons programs, the cost overruns in these weapons programs that exist in the defense budget. And yet they're talking about increasing defense expenditures.
Let me take a call for you, Danielle in Milwaukee. Hello.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess my question is, I'm a voter. I vote local, state, national elections. I'm only 20 years old, so it's been 2 years. But I guess I'm really upset listening to all of this stuff and everything that's going on with it's an ideological rider. This party isn't willing to compromise. This party isn't. But it's all about balancing a budget. And I balance a budget every single day. I'm 20 years old, and I have to figure out how to live. And I guess I don't understand, and it upsets me so much when a government that I hope is functioning well for my livelihood and those of everyone around me can't balance a budget once every year or can't come to a conclusion. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me when there's Americans every single day who do the same thing, obviously on a smaller level. But you have to take everything into account, whether it's ideological or not.
Yeah. So why is this happening?
You know, Danielle has a very important point, but also let's be realistic with family budgets. Sometimes families go into debt for investments they want to make, whether it's a home mortgage, whether it's student loans, whether it's a loan for a car payment. So, you know, families also carry debt from time to time. But maintaining that debt for a long period of time without the ability to pay it back is when you get into trouble. We had a very healthy dynamic, Joy, back in the 1990s with higher tax rates back then that led to 27 million private sector jobs being created, a period of unprecedented economic growth, 4 years of budget surpluses when we're actually paying down the national debt rather than adding to it. And all that turned around with the next administration, whose first thing on their agenda was large tax breaks again for the most wealthy, and then unprecedented period of spending that wasn't paid for. And that spending is continuing. You know, a lot of those decisions are continuing, whether it's two wars that were unpaid for, a new prescription drug plan, over an $800 billion cost, not a nickel of it paid for, the two tax cuts, which again was just extended at the end of last year. None of it was paid for. And people are wondering why we're running into huge budget deficits today.
We're almost out of time, Congressman Kind. In less than 30 seconds, what's your hope or fear when it comes to a potential government shutdown at midnight?
Well, I hope there's some miracle of miracles that happened today and an agreement can be reached where some of these real ideological riders are taken out. We can agree to a number for spending cuts. We can keep the government functioning and go on to the larger discussion we have to have. And that's the long-term plan to get these big deficits under control, which is going to require putting everything on the table, not just NPR or Planned Parenthood or the EPA. Everything's got to be scrutinized if we're going to be serious.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Ron Kind, Democratic U.S. Representative from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Chris Molina for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.